Hey everybody, welcome back to the Moto247 Show, a Rocket Media production.
He needs to imagine that there's a girl with big boobs in the first corner, and he needs to be the first one to get to her to get her phone number.
It's holding the baby, yelling at me, and I'm like just trying to like get out of here.
Hey, what's up everyone? Ezra Henry here with Dean Taylor for episode 63, I believe. I never know what episode it is when I go to start, but...
I thought it was like episode 69 or something.
No, I wish. I've been looking forward to 69. Like, that should be a good episode. But I don't know. It's just not looking forward to 66, but 69. We have a few weeks till then. So, yeah, that might be a good one. But, I think it's 63 right now. But getting going, we've missed a couple weeks of really good racing. It seems like whenever we have time off, there's really good racing. And I had a lot of notes and stuff I wanted to talk about over the last couple weeks, and I'll probably get to a little bit of it, but a lot of it, you know, has already been talked about in the media and social media and all that over the past couple weeks. So a lot's happened, but heck, at least we're getting a little bit better racing now. It's I think a lot of questions we had going in, you know, into the last few weeks since our last episode have been answered, I think, for both the 450 and the 250. But I guess kicking off this the pod here with the 250 class, what do you think about Kitchen really stepped up? I know for the last, or even going into the year and throughout the first couple rounds, it was him, Smith and Hampshire, like Shimoto was kind of like a peeping Tom over there, you know, like kind of looking in and not really, like he's definitely capable of running up front, but he hasn't so far until lately a little bit, like near the front. But it was those three guys kind of, you know, going toe-to-toe for the championship and Levi stepping up. And, yeah, what did you think of his ride in St. Louis? I thought he was looking, like, really good.
Man, he was flawless, you know what I mean? I think his qualifying was awesome. I don't know specifically where he qualified, but then he comes in there and three good starts, three wins. Like, I mean, or, you know, like as far as St. Louis and then even before that, Seattle, you know what I mean? Like you said, talking about making a step up and just hitting all of his marks and just looking – you know, next level, you know, he's making all the other 250 guys look like they're in the B class, and he's rised up to the pros, you know, he's ready for the 450 class, just riding that smooth and without making mistakes and just doing everything perfect. You know, it's crazy, especially for the 250 class, where it seems like there is more excitement and more mistakes, and he's just, you know, like I said, just riding like a veteran 450 guy, just hitting his marks.
Like, did you see him even going through, like, the corners? His corner speed looks, like, up a lot, and he just looks so smooth and in control. Like, he had Hampshire behind him, and Hampshire's always, like, he's like a, you know, like a rabbit chasing a carrot or something. He's always right there, and you know he's going to give it his all, and still he couldn't get Levi there. And, like, it still would have been, a statement ride if he would have went 1-1-2 or you know, slip into second place in one of the main events or motos or whatever the hell you want to call them, but... I think he really, you know, put a statement, did a statement type ride here in St. Louis with just, you know, holding Hampshire off there, then going out three, you know, mains in a row and really, you know, like you said, like he just really killed it, looked really comfortable. And that just him looking comfortable more or less just impressed me, because we've seen speed from Smith and Hampshire and Levi, then of course, like Joe a little bit, but where guys like Thrasher have been up there, but Levi's, yeah, he looked really good. Like, even though he went 1-1-1, I thought the 250 racing was really good, and I wasn't really bored by any of it at all. Like, I was just kind of honestly just more or less really pumped for him, and it seems like that move away from Star is really paid off, and I think a lot of people were questioning that move, you know, going away from the powerhouse and going over the PC, which, you know, obviously PC is a, you know, they have probably the best history of any 250 team, but, you know, lately it's like they're cursed. And I think this year he's kind of proven that they have a really good bike and have a really good setup going on. But yeah, he's looking good. Like, even 15 point lead going into
the pro circuit, man. And they got McAdoo leading the points right now on East Coast.
Yeah. And before Forkner. Like, he was up there too, like with the red plate there. And yeah, I'm just more or less pumped for them. I guess I said more or less with Kitchen, but I'm pumped for the whole PC team. They've been through hell, and hopefully they can pull off at least one title. What heck, two titles would be insane. And especially with, I guess Kitchen, you can kind of predict it, but with McAdoo, that would be insane, especially both coasts there. Yeah. But yeah, like they're just looking so good. And then even going back to like last year in SMX, like Shimoto was looking so good on that bike, and it seemed like they really found something. And yeah, it kind of sucks to see him. And
he's kind of taking a step backwards, almost, it seems like.
Yeah.
I feel like before he had a little bit more speed to like really chase people down and fight for it. And like, I mean, he looks good, but he's kind of almost like Sexton in the 450 class, where it's just like not the same raw speed that we're used to from the past.
Yeah, that's what I was just about to say. Like, it's almost comparable. Like, he last year he had that raw speed. He had that, like, not full on what Kitchen was displaying this past weekend, but like just that. Seemed like he was riding almost with that confidence, like he was the man, you know, and he wasn't like bowing down to anyone there. And now it seems like he has a little bit of speed, but then he's making all these mistakes and stuff, and he's not really one with the bike, it seems like. And just watching it from what I'm seeing, at least. And yeah, like I don't know how he's feeling on it, but then going over the Sexton, it seems like, yeah, I don't know, like I'm just more or less wondering if they are regretting, both those guys, or if they're regretting their move of the switching teams. But heck, it's still early, and I guess like it's far into the Supercross season, but it's a whole new, you know, manufacturer and stuff, and especially for Sexton, you know, switching frames, like going over. And he talked about it on multiple interviews and stuff about he didn't think, you know, going over to the KTM would be that much of a difference. But it just has me wondering, like, where would both those guys be? Like, I've been wondering about Sexton for, like, the whole year. Like, where would he be if he was still in a Honda? Like, would he still have that raw speed and kind of eating crap? Or would he kind of back it down just to skosh and still have that speed for the most part and just maybe, you know, cleaned up a little bit? Then for Shimoda, like, would he have picked up where he left off? Or would he, you know, like, it seems like every year he starts slow, then, you know, late in the year he's, like, doing pretty good, which he, you know, he had a good ride here in St. Louis. So I don't know what to expect, but you know, Foxborough should be some good racing, I think, then, especially with the showdown. I think that will be really cool to see. But heck, Kitchen has a 15-point lead, so it's almost like his to kind of just manage from here on out.
Yeah, hopefully he does. I think he's well deserving of the championship. It's really cool to see him rise and, you know, ride like a champion, in a sense, you know, rise to the occasion, and like you said, gel with a new bike. And just really watch him go from like a pretty bad dude on the dirt bike to like a bad mother effer, you know. He's just next level now.
Yeah, I forgot they had some little segment on him. I don't know if it was during Race Day Live. I caught a portion of that, or if it was during the main broadcast. But they're talking about some big Kitchen story. I thought they're going to talk about his underage girlfriend there for a bit. It had to be on Race Day Live because I wouldn't have thought that on the broadcast. But it was something with I think it was like Ricky or something talking about how Mitch lets him do his own thing, and he's not in Cali. He's over in Florida doing his own thing, you know, and he talked about the trust of doing his own thing, and he has to kind of perform, right? But
yeah, I don't know if you've been watching the Chef's vlogs or anything.
No, he has his own vlog too.
Yeah, he calls the Chef's vlog and stuff. I've been watching. They're pretty sweet. Like, I mean, it's just good, like, edits of him riding and stuff, and it's cool because he's riding with, like, I mean, obviously he's at Moto Sandbox, right? So, like, you get little clips, like a lot of like Kenny and stuff like that. I haven't seen Chase in them too recently, but Chase is in some of them. And then a lot of them, he's like riding with Crockett Myers too. But I mean, just good edits with good music and stuff, like nothing too crazy behind the scenes, just like good riding. And obviously like Levi, I think as of right now, he's got one of my favorite styles to watch right now. He looks good on the bike.
He does look good. Like I thought he looked good on Star, but just on, I don't know, on Kawi, he looks different. He looks like, clean and polished. And from what he was before, it's almost like Kitchen 1.0 last year, then Kitchen kind of 2.0 stepping through that wall there. And he just, like, there's so many different riding styles, obviously, that everyone has. And, his is definitely pretty beautiful. Like, just watching that, like, damn. Like, especially this past weekend, he looked really good. And just watching him gel with everything and put it all together like he did was pretty crazy. But, yeah, I definitely have to check out his vlog. I haven't really watched that many vlogs since the big Troll Train vlogs, which I got tricked for a second. I saw Troll Train posted something, A-Mart, and something about training NBA players. I'm like, what the fuck? I forgot it was April Fool's. And I'm like, I'm like, how could he possibly, like, what kind of, like, I'm like trying to like think, like, What could like what could be beneficial towards a freaking NBA player? And I'm like, it took like this is me thinking within like a 3 second span, and I'm like, I got fooled like five times in April Fools today because, you know, just so busy and then with work and then stuff, and just like looked out, you know, like go on the gram for a bit or something or on the way home or whatever, and I got fooled a couple times, but then I saw NBA and then I'm like thinking, I'm like, oh my god, I'm so stupid. And it shows him like dunking the ball and him like his face like poorly photoshopped on a Lakers player.
But, I gotta see that. Yeah, the shortest guy in motocross.
Yeah, I'm like NBA. Sport. Like that is like I can see him going over that like training mountain bike guys. You know, it's like moving his program right into something like that.
Right.
Where I'm like, I can like even not him personally, but maybe they added another guy to their team there that they have, but. It just made me laugh, but yeah, I haven't watched really any vlogs since seeing those. Those are always really good, but yeah, going back into the race scene, I thought Beaumaire looked good, pretty good in that first race. Nothing really too great though, but you know, for a rookie, I think he had that speed and he had that fight, which is pretty cool to see him up there for a bit. Then he dropped pretty far back pretty quick, but I don't think that's nothing to, you know, necessarily really be surprised by, right? You know, rookie season, but. He's looking really good. But the thing that gets me with Kitchen, though, before I talk about anyone else, I guess, is I keep on thinking he's so young, but he's 23 years old. So,
yeah,
that's kind of crazy. Like, Jets, he has 3 years on Jet, and, you know, Jet's in the 450 class and absolutely killing it. But yeah, I thought this weekend was just pretty good in the 250 class, like, Kitchen swept him. But I was watching Garrett there for a bit, and he's coming through the pack, of course, again, and keeping an eye on Phil. Kind of sucks that it seems like Phil Nicolotti keeps on getting screwed over this year, so that really sucks. Can't imagine watching those vlogs. What's going on there? I don't know if I sent you the Instagram video, but he's like cussing out Garrett. It was hilarious in one of the vlogs, but or one of the clips. But yeah, just I guess nothing too much. I guess in the 250 class besides just the top, you know, three guys in the championship there, and I think it's kind of settled. It seems like if I was a betting man, I'd put my money on Kitchen and then RJ there and then Smith. And I think they've all rode, you know, pretty good. And even Smith, besides the freak, you know, ride in Seattle, just having those issues. And almost he almost pulled a Ricky Carmichael from whatever year that was when Ricky ran right out in the middle of the track in Seattle, like with him pulling out, though. He was on the bike, you know. But, yeah, I think from here on out, it's just, I guess it's Kitchen's championship to lose. But, yeah, it sucks to see what happened to Mosman, though. I haven't really saw any updates on him. Have you seen anything?
No, I haven't. No, I haven't even seen the video of it. I kind of missed that main event. I heard about it. He, like, hurt his foot or something or crashed on triple or something.
Yeah, I haven't really seen much on that. So, I guess more or less just waiting for that and. I don't know, hopefully it's nothing too bad. It's cool to see him back out there again, and it's been a while for him. But, yeah, I don't think there's really much.
Yeah, he was the top finishing star rider in Seattle.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just crazy what they're freaking – they almost have, like, a full NFL roster on their team. Between their amateurs in the 450 and the 250 team, but it's freaking crazy. But going into the 450 class, can I have a shorter episode? By the way, guys, covering everything real quick. But, yeah, for the 450 class, definitely an awkward, I guess, situation with Tomac. I just want to get your opinion on the whole Jet Lawrence and Barcia thing. I talked to Joey yesterday about it. I had to wait for his reaction because, he didn't watch it live. But, I was waiting to see what he would say. I thought he would be on my side, but he was not. So before I say like how I felt about it, what did you think about the whole Barcia thing? Was it Barcia's fault? Or I guess,
I mean,
like how would you even describe that?
Like my reaction to it was I thought Barcia was like not anticipating Jet to square up and cut down so early. And I, you know, like I even saw like a diagram of like people like showing exactly what I was thinking where Barcia was going to dive like 3/4 of the way into the corner and then cut down, like making like his turn sharp, just like Jet's was, but Jet chose to cut his down like 1/4 of the way through the corner. and then their lines just crossed in that scenario. And then even like I don't know if you saw like Ricky's post, but he
Yeah.
made the post of when Dungy did the same thing to James Stewart, where James cut down and Ryan wasn't anticipating it, and they don't do the same thing. Where it's just like that, you know. They just I just saw it as that a simple like mistake. Like I didn't see anything of it being intentional. I didn't see, because I mean we haven't seen Justin Barcia ride like that at all this year. It's been a kind of a completely different guy. He's been kind of in the back, been very quiet,
Yeah,
you
and
know.
not even like that. Like, I don't remember Bam Bam being like someone to completely go in and just intentionally T-bone someone like that.
Well, I
Like,
mean, there was that one time with Malcolm when he like messed
well,
up
yeah.
Malcolm's knee and he missed
Well,
all of outdoors. So,
yeah, well, didn't they have something going on before then? A little beef or whatever?
oh, I mean, yeah, like that season was wild with Justin, like being you're getting an altercation with either Jason Anderson or Malcolm Stewart like every single weekend.
But I just mean, like, with Jet, there's nothing really going on. Maybe Jet with Anderson, but
No.
nothing going on
Yeah.
with Barsha, and Barsha's been quiet as a mouse all year, so yeah, just and especially Vince Freeze was there too, you know, he's coming up the inside and who knows
I
what
heard
could have
somebody saying
been.
that where he was, but that's like somebody even said that where Justin was almost probably closing off his inside so Freezy couldn't do anything to him almost.
Yeah, like he almost had
It's like,
nowhere to go, and then I saw someone with Dartfish. They replayed one of the other mains with you know, like the same situation in the first lap, because they're like, well, yeah, everyone's saying Jet's stupid for cutting down, but look at the three-time or the two-time champ Eli Tomac cut down. Like, Tomac cut down even like further back from Jet, but like I agree with you. Like, and I saw Ricky's post. I saw a ton of pros, like Jeff Walker, Cole Seeley, a ton of guys on Twitter and Instagram talk about it. Saying how it's a racing incident, and obviously it sucks, and like I was kind of speechless there, because I was wanting a good championship, and I was thinking, like, I was watching it alone at my house, and I was sitting there, and I'm like, the only way we're gonna get a good championship is if Jack gets hurt, and this was no joke, like 2 corners before that happened. And like, flash forward like 5 seconds, I see him laying on the ground. I'm like, oh my God, like this. It's almost like a flashback to Denver for me last year watching it. Like when Eli got hurt, where I was like, this is done. And then Eli gets hurt. I'm like, what? Oh my God. Like, I thought Sexton was, you know, like there's no way in hell he's gonna win it. And
right.
now I'm like, oh, I'm like, this sucks so bad, because I'm like, now it's a good championship, but Jet's hurt. Then, you know, obviously he got up and it seems like he's good to go. And all I can say though with the whole Jet thing is it's like best case scenario for him. It's a triple crown. If not, he would not have the red plate going into the next round here, here in 2 weeks. He would have, let's say, he got what, 21st or something, and he would have got 20.
Yeah.
Let's say he even charged harder or something, and he got 18th. He would still be like 5 to 8 points down in the championship, depending on where he finished back there. So he got
Right.
incredibly lucky, and especially with the bye week next week, he gets time to heal up. Or I guess what. Whatever it is, if it's bruised up, if he's just bruised or something, is whatever is messed up with him. But it sounds like in Barsha's post, he, you know, he's just really apologetic and talking about how Jet's good and, you know, healthy, and he's healthy, so it sounds like everything's all good, and you know, Jet's just banged up, so that's like almost best case scenario for him, and it is the 8 point lead. But getting back to the whole situation of, I guess my opinion on it is, yeah, like Tomac cut down in the previous moto, but I still think Barcia was going in there to close off Freezy that was coming up the inside pretty hot too. And then, yeah, wasn't expecting Jet to cut down. And I think all the Jet fans are freaking out, because I was a big JS7 fan back when he was racing. And I was pissed when Dungey hit him, but it kind of took me a second to get over just the emotion of that and be like, you know, it was kind of a racing incident, right? So
Yeah.
I thought Joey was going to agree with me, which. He's not on here, so maybe, you know, when he's on here next time, we'll talk about it or something for a second, so he can explain what he was thinking. But he was saying how he thought it was a dumb move by Barsha. So I don't know. I'm not gonna put words in his mouth. So next time he's on, we'll get in a little debate over it, I guess, if it's worth anything. But I don't know. I was kind of pissed at Barsha at first, but I was like, ah, it's, I was like doing the slow motion on the replay. I'm like, it's a racing incident, but
Yeah.
just pretty crazy. But yeah, best, I guess, case scenario for Tomac, 3 good starts. Then with the whole Red Cross
Justin out
flag,
of
that was kind
nowhere.
of, That was insane. How I never seen anyone jump, or I never saw multiple people jump on a Red Cross flag with it, with what, like Anderson and was it another guy?
Plessinger.
Like, I mean, multiple laps though. Like, I know, yeah, like a bunch of guys did it one lap, but it was Anderson or whatever doing it twice.
Yeah, did it two laps.
Like, that was just crazy, which, you know, obviously Tomac got a gift there, but I guess it doesn't really matter too much in the long run, but it's just insane. And that, I've been seeing the whole debate on, there's the company, I think Ricky's still sponsored by it, but that that communication thing that you just like snap on the side of your helmet, and if everyone's having the crazy debate on Twitter of should we have like one way or even two way communication there. So I guess what's your thoughts on that? I don't know. I'm kind of, I see it from a safety perspective, but almost at the same time, like, I don't think we should have that, but like, it makes a lot of sense. Like, if someone's hurt in the whoops, you can, they can, the AMA can come on and say, you know, there's a downrider in the left side of the whoops, you know, it's a whatever, Red Cross, roll through them or whatever. So they're not really blindsided by that, because it was kind of unfair. They're rolling out of that corner. They're all taking that inside, and the white flag was coming out, but, you know, they just held that Red Cross flag there. So I guess what's your thoughts on the whole communication system? I think that would definitely be weird, but I don't know, maybe,
yeah,
potentially,
like, I think it'd be weird.
Good.
And I think the riders, like, talking back might be really hard, I feel like. But I mean, as far as like, if they're, because I've heard like the whispers of like they're potentially being like a Supercross Netflix show like there is for Formula One, I think from like that perspective and like a media standpoint, and like, yeah, like, I like all the, like, on top of all the safety benefits, but then how they already do it, like in the Yamaha Behind the Gate vlog and stuff, when they put in like the headset, or even like the Club of Max vlog, they put in like a little bit of headset two-way, when it kind of adds some like theatrics in like the episodes of like hearing them like talking over the radios, just from like the mechanics to like the guys up in the tower or something. And then if you could almost like on top of that add in like the AMA officials, like you said, saying rider down or Red Cross flag at finish line, or,
yeah, it's almost like if they implemented it, would it only be AMA to the riders one way? Or then it's like, go all the way and do every, like, AMA to riders, team managers the riders, and would you even go two-way to where they can talk back to the team manager talking about whatever they needed to do? Or,
yeah, because, like, I mean, like if they tried, like, just kind of following in, like, Formula One's footsteps, that's where I'm just thinking of, like, how much they always, like, in Formula One, even I think on the live broadcast, they'll sometimes, like, play some of the headsets, but they do it in the Netflix show where they play, like, the you know, it's really cool to hear, like, kind of some of the emotions coming out of the guys' mouths, you know, at the end of the races, or, you know, but then, like you said, I think it is just almost like team manager, and then the team manager can, like, get messages from, like, the directors of the races, and then forward it on to their, like, their drivers or their riders. I think would be the almost most elegant way of putting it. I don't know, you know, like, kind of where it kind of keeps that, you know, because it almost, it would be kind of cool if it is just like the mechanic holding the pit board talking to their rider, and it's just kind of continuing on to that relationship and that familiarity of like who you're hearing through your helmet, and it's kind of that adds a little bit more personal, not just some random AMA official that you already don't like, and then when you got them in your head during your race. I think that would almost, I could almost see that firing it up, you know, just thinking of some of the guys, even like in our local series, who act as if they are an AMA official, and like just imagining them getting, because they already are just power hungry as far as like local Michigan racing.
Yeah, I guess like getting, like, AMA wouldn't even have to be involved. They can always talk to the team, and the team can, yeah, like, freaking team managers can just radio in that a rider is down over the, in the Supercross triple or something. So it wouldn't even, yeah, I guess I didn't really think too far into that, but, you know, like, yeah, it could just be the mechanic, or it could just be the team manager.
Yeah, it's like I said, they do it so much in Formula One where they're, like said, caution car coming out or debris on the track, or, you know, even with them, because they're so closely monitoring the cars in that scenario, they can tell them, like, sometimes before the driver even knows if there's an issue developing in the car, and they're like, hey, we need to repair the car, it's breaking down, or in the even worst case scenario, and I guess not worse, but like sometimes they have to even like break it to them, like, hey, you got a 5-second penalty for this, so next time you come in, you know, and like you said, it's kind of even just keeping things happening even faster, like, you know, live time information getting right back to the driver.
Yeah, I think that's almost like the next step of how kind of our sport's behind. And I don't
Yeah.
necessarily mean that in a bad way because I kind of like it where we're at, but it's like almost going out
Right.
of our comfort zone, right? And with this technology that we obviously have now in 2024, and going over the Formula One like you're talking about, I keep on seeing this clip on my Instagram reels, and it's the I don't know who I don't follow Formula One except I know, you know, Lewis Hamilton, but besides that, I don't know anyone else. And I just see the clip where the team's talking of how this the driver's freaking singing Smooth Operators, you know, I'm a
Oh
smooth operator, and they're like, you can't
I
sing
think
that,
that
there's copyright laws. And he's like, no, it's unacceptable.
I think that might have been Carlos Sainz, the Ferrari driver.
Yeah, then he's like, smooth operator, and then and they're like, yeah, they're like, Carlos, you got a 5 second penalty. I like it was freaking cracking me up, and I got the song stuck in my head after I heard that. But I'm like, that'd be crazy. Like, imagine that they did have a Netflix series, and you hear Cooper Webb, like he would be crazy. Like you would just hear him. He's all over Ken Rocks, and he's all over Jet Lawrence or someone, and he's like talking shit or something. Like that'd be pretty
Yeah,
crazy.
dude, a new Dirt Shark Monster edit just came out with Cooper Webb today. I watched it during lunch.
Really?
Pretty sweet. Like I said,
I haven't
he's a
checked it
bad
out.
mofo. Like I said, he's got some cool, like, you know, drinking a monster and just being like, hey man, you know, I'm not gamey rider, and it's cool. Like, he's a good rider, and like same thing, his like persona that he's got is pretty cool.
Yeah, he's had a big year, you know, got a few wins this year, new team. He's plowed a monster chick. He told Will Christian that he his arms are harder than his morning wood, so you know, got a lot going on. But that cracked me up so much when I heard that at first. I was like, oh my God. That's the best comparison ever. Like, I don't know, I think I'm really good with comparisons, like let's just like out of like completely like off the like the wall, like random shit. But like I would, well, not in public or anything, but like talking like I don't know with you guys or something, but like or even when I'm thinking of something. And I don't know, I would have never have gone that or have nailed it like he did though. But it was funny because I don't know if it was Ricky talking in his podcast or if it was on the broadcast or Race Day Live or somewhere I heard it, where it was like one of the NBC producers didn't know what arm pump was. Like he's worked doing the Supercross broadcast for like the last few years apparently, and he never knew like what it felt like, right? Like he always knew or he always heard people talk about it, and all these riders talk about arm pump and it's an excuse about why they did bad or whatnot. And he was like, oh my gosh, like after Cooper said that though, like I actually like I know what he's talking about, like it makes sense to me now after all this time. I'm like, oh my God, I heard that if it was on a podcast or wherever it was, I don't remember, but it's freaking crazy. I'm like, this is that comparison, but it's freaking crazy. But it's just insane. But one other thing I want to talk about too, and I have it in my notes. I have a ton that I really don't want to get into because this episode will be way too long, and I'm like I should have went to bed 2 hours ago. I'm you know working nights, so way behind the eight ball here. But I really don't want to get into everything. But the TV broadcast, I guess it's been talked about. It's this isn't a new thing that you know we're just talking about right now. It's been on social media, so I don't want to be talking about the same old shit. But I wrote it down in Seattle, and it was obviously like Twitter was on fire with people talking shit about how they cut to the crowd when there's that battle there in Seattle. Then I'm like, okay, whatever. You know, we didn't have an episode last week, unfortunately, we couldn't get to it. So I, you know, have had all those notes at the bottom of it, put a line across. Okay, here's my notes for St. Louis of, you know, what I want to talk about here for this episode. And that was no joke, the first thing on the list, TV broadcast. In my notes, here's what it says. TV broadcast, what the heck? Cutting from battles at bad moments. It's like going back to that sand section with that jump over that, you know, Jet was doing, and Ricky's talking about it a couple weeks ago. And they're like, okay, watch this. Jet's jumping over this little wall here, and he's making up so much time. And then right when he would get to it, they would pan to someone else. It's like, what the fuck? And then with the battle, and with them cutting to the crowd, like we want to watch the crowd go crazy. Like obviously the crowd's going crazy for something. that's on the track that is something we're supposed to be seeing. And so I heard about that on Twitter for a while. Like, I'm just repeating shit. But I just get a little pissed, but whatever. And then going into this weekend, it was, like, the same thing. Like, there's so many good battles going on. Then they're, like, the I almost had heat races. But, like, in the motos there in the Triple Crown, there's, like, a battle for second or third or something. Like, I think it was especially in the 250 class because Kitchen was pulled away. And they have a cool feature on TV right now for motorsports, especially in Supercross. It's on there in motocross. They have a split screen. If Levi Kitchen is 6 seconds out, I don't care. Like, he doesn't have to be in the full big, you know, screen of the TV there with him whipping over the finish line. If there's a battle between RJ Hampshire and Shimoda or RJ Hampshire and Smith or whoever, like, I like that we're watching for like two laps, then they just pan away right when they're in the last like three corners is beyond me. So that's my little just thing I'm pissed off about. And I know they're not perfect. And whatever it is, you can always critique anyone on whatever they do, and especially like live events and live racing like that, or live coverage of racing like that. There's nothing that's going to be perfect where they're catching all the action, and people talk about it on Race Day Live, which is a whole other thing. You can watch Jet roll around for a whole lap, but I don't know. I just find them, they keep on doing that, where they keep on cutting away from battles, where it's like bar to bar, it's back and forth. Like, we finally got good racing. Like, I'm so used to watching Jet just pull away, or just not pull away, but, you know, just maintain that couple second lead, and it's just boring. And I kind of, I'm almost falling asleep. So when I see good racing, I don't want to see them cutting away. So that was my first thing. Then my second thing, I did not read these notes before I started this episode right now. I wrote these on Saturday. My second thing was stop with the drone shot. The drone shot's really cool, like seeing all the lines and stuff. You can actually see the ruts and how deep they are and how challenging they make the rhythms. How challenging the rhythms look and how we don't really notice it in the normal shots. But I think that the drones is a freaking cool shot, but they overuse it so much that it's annoying. So that's just, my little bit of stuff I wanted to complain about. I don't really want to be too negative, but it's just like every week, and especially in motocross with the drone shot. Oh my gosh. This is crazy, but I don't know. I don't know if it bothered you or if it was just me over here alone being pissed off at the world or whatever, but
I see where I definitely know where you're coming from, and I feel it sometimes, but then I just like, especially like listening to like interviews with like Jason Wygott and Ricky and some of those guys that have, just done like long lengthy podcasts. They've like really explained like how much of a delicate dance the whole production is.
Yeah. And that's where like, I give them credit, where I try not to rip into their ass, because it is probably extremely hard to have 50 moving pieces at once. Right.
Like I said, they're trying to cram everything. They got so many boxes they got to check off, even like the sponsors. And like you said, like features and segments and coverage, and even sometimes, like you said, they might go away from a battle and go to some random rider and you're like, what the f? But it's like, because they have some underlying agenda that they've got to fulfill, where they've got to mention this rider in this, like you said, because they had some little segment or just random stuff, and same thing, they might even have it on their agenda where they need to get the eye crossing the finish line no matter what. It might just be something that their producers, who don't really know that much about racing, but they're just,
well, even if they put them on the, where they have the, I know on the outdoors, it was like the Thor battle box or whatever. I don't know what the hell it's called in Supercross, but they have the bigger box and the smaller box. Even if they put Sexton, but I guess whoever the hell wins, but if it's Kitchen going over the finish line, if they have him in the big box, because, ooh, he's the winner of the race, cool. Like, I wouldn't be mad with that if they put the whatever battle for third or fourth or for second or whatever on the tiny small box in the corner. Like, as long as we're seeing the action that they're, the commentators have been talking about for 2 minutes or 3 minutes, whatever it is. But I don't know. Like, I get it. And I heard Weege, if it was on Pulp or if it was on one of the RacerX things, like, I heard him talking about it, and I kind of like laid off there, my whole opinion on that. Cause I know everyone was kind of pissed off for a while, a couple weeks ago, but I don't know. There's just some things where it's like, really? But I don't know. I try to, whatever I do, I try to, look at both sides to everything and stuff, but it's like, some things I'm like, they're almost like tempting me to say something because, but I don't know, like you said, no, there's a lot of moving pieces, but like sometimes it's like really like, it seems like they're intentionally going away from something though.
No, I like it because like even sometimes, like you said, I feel like I can even hear it in like, I think like Ricky's voice, like frustration when he's like trying to explain something and then they, so it's like, I'm always just like, okay, Ricky's, I can tell Ricky's upset. That's good enough for me. And I can, now I can find a little bit of humor in it. Like even the broadcaster's like, God damn it, this fucking job.
Or like, you could, honestly, you can tell this weekend. Like I never really noticed that too much until this weekend. You hear him talk about something and he's like, oh, well, down to you. Like he's in the middle of talking about something and like the producer's probably in his ear like, hey, Will has a report, and she's all like, with her voice that's all non-existent. Yeah. Which I know people are ripping on her. Which I'm like, fuck, she lost her voice. Like that's,
like yeah, I don't know. She didn't call in sick to work. That's badass.
Yeah, she didn't call in sick. And, you know, like if I were her, I would continue to do my job. I don't think they should have put her in because they had JT down there, and then they have the two guys in the booth. But yeah. I guess they flew her down there, so they have another body and. She was interviewing people, getting real close to Ryder, so hopefully no one's sick. But I'm like, really, did they really need her? But one other thing I want to talk about on the broadcast, I'm kind of rolling deep into this episode here, deeper than I wanted to, or later, longer, I should say, than I wanted to, but is Lee Diffie. It was nice having Weege in the booth. With Lee, no offense, he seems like a nice guy, but Weege is great in the booth, and I think they're in his ear to kind of for Supercross that like how it seems like they're always appealing to a new audience, right? Where in the outdoors it seems like almost like two guys just chatting about the races, and he absolutely kills it in the outdoors. Like he does a phenomenal job. Where Supercross, I'm like, but I still think it's a hell of a lot better than anyone else. If it's Todd Harris or Lee Diffie, which no offense, they're great commentators and stuff, but like. You know, we just balls deep in the moto, right? He loves it. He's a nerd, a moto nerd. He's obsessed with it, and he's one of the guys. You know, like Ricky, like he's not the GOAT like Ricky is or a racer, but he's really deep into the sport, and he really knows how to kind of set things up really well. And even though Lee's a professional at it and has a lot of credit with all the four wheel stuff he does, obviously he's kind of familiar with the sport with being around it for a bit that he has, but. I don't know. I just feel like it's kind of a downgrade, even though he might be a bigger name.
Yeah.
But I guess getting back to the racing, kind of going to clean this up a bit or touch on the last couple things. They like Tomac killed it. And I don't know. That kind of now I can finally exhale, I think. I was waiting for Tomac to get a win. So that felt amazing. So I guess. It was nice. I bet it felt amazing for Tomac. And also, I was watching the press conference after the races. Everyone kept asking the same question. Like, they're almost like they're, going on asking about their question. But everyone, like, just simplified. It was like, why were you sucking the last couple weekends? Why were you sucking? And it was, like, the same question over and over. And he's all, professional and giving a good answer. And then, like, after the fourth or fifth freaking time, he's just talking to – he's, like, not necessarily giving excuses, but the general, answer that any rider would or whatever, like, blah blah blah, like no really given no info. Then after like the fourth or fifth time, it seemed like he got really pissed off and he's like, you want to know what? it's because I tweaked my ankle a couple weeks ago, like apparently he never told, it hasn't been out yet, right?
Yeah.
And it was funny because it seemed like he just snapped, like he's almost like, fuck you guys. Like he gets a win, the freaking guy gets a win after coming back from the injury where. And Jet's killing it, this up-and-coming star's killing it. He finally gets his win, and not only one win. I know the Triple Crown's done a full-length main event, but three, wins. I guess three technically, right? But, and he should be happy up there, and then people are just hounding him why he's been sucking the last month or so. And he just freaking snaps, freaking cracks me up. Between that, it seemed like the people kept on asking the same question between him with that, then Kitchen with... They keep on going back to the thing with a star. They're like, oh, yeah, so you're with Pro Circuit. Just tell us how that transition has been to where you have more freedom. And Jordan Smith is on star sitting right next to him. And they're like, yeah, tell us how that transition is. And that now that you have more freedom and you can actually kind of do what you want and you're not in that competitive atmosphere. it's like hearing that like 100 times. Like, I'm so sick of hearing that. But it's just kind of funny. But yeah, I just... For Chase, though, I thought he was going to come out riding a little bit better, but I guess we'll see going into the East Coast. And I think, yeah, Jet still, I'm still picking him for fantasy. Like, I see you're kind of catching up to me a little bit. In fantasy, you're in the third, I think.
Chipping away.
Yeah, you've been in third for a little bit. I've been in first for a while, but I've been kind of, I've been a little scared there. I've been waiting. You were almost like dead last, I could have swore, right? Like early on in the year, and you're in third now. I'm kind of like, oh shit, like you're creeping up. Like, so I'm just hoping I can ride this thing in. So, but I keep on picking Jet, so I don't know if that's ever gonna fail me. Like, obviously, it failed me, I guess, this weekend, right? But, I've been picking him every week in the win, and I've picked Chisholm to get 15th overall for the wild card, and guess what he got? He got 14th. So, like in multiple of those mains, he was running 15th. But Colt got 15, so I was off. But, well, cool. I think, I don't know, it'd be nice to have a weekend off and I think get some more stuff done. I end up watching Race Day Live too much and slack around the house here and getting crap done. But get some stuff done, and it'd be cool watching the racing as they head, you know, back to over to the East Coast. And we have Uncovered Stadium, so who knows if we're going to get some more mutters this year. And I guess we'll see, but I guess you're going to get your picks in for, I guess, the 250. Or, fuck, let's not do picks. We're 2 weeks away. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm fine without doing them. I don't know. Well, you, unless you want to do them. But I only know what the Rocky Mountain Fantasy is for that.
I haven't even checked it yet.
Yeah, I haven't even looked. So I just checked the points. But, well, cool. Well, it sucks that. It seems like whenever we have a couple weeks off or something with the podcast, there's a lot of good racing going on. And then whenever we're on consistently every week, it's kind of a but. And then I feel like there's a lot to talk about where when we get the time, we can actually have a longer episode. I don't know, maybe before the next race or even, heck, even if we don't do one until after Foxborough, I think, you know, there should be some good things to talk about and yeah, good stuff to cover. But, well, cool. Thanks for hopping on, and thank you guys for listening. See you guys for episode 64.